Okay, let's get the recording going here. Okay. Hey, everybody, this is Greg Colosi. I'm going to talk a little bit lower here. I'm in a lanai, and I just found out what a lanai is. David, do they have lanais by you?
I don't know exactly what you're talking about.
A lanai is a, because of the bugs down here, they screen in their backyards. So they'll put in a, it looks like a roof, but it's a screen. The whole pool, whole area is screened in. Well, I'm in a mini micro $2,000 a month condo lanai. But they call everything screened in. They call it a lanai. So I'm hanging out in a lanai, and right below me is a pool. I see some people sunbathing, mostly of my generation, sunbathing. So I'm going to talk a little bit lower so they don't all hear me yelling. David, you can hear me okay, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, everybody, happy Valentine's Day, male and female. I got a nice surprise today. I took yoga down here, and my instructor. I went to this place for the very first time, and I woke up at the end of yoga. Most yoga classes, you take a little nap at the end, and we took a little nap. And I woke up. There was a little Ziploc pouch, kind of like the one we use in our bag drops, but a lot smaller, filled with some nice chocolates. Dove chocolate being one of them, which is very creamy, and I was kind of dreaming about that while I fell asleep. I was thinking about chocolate because today is Thanksgiving. So make sure you take care of, if you already have not, those Valentines in your life. And if you, somebody last minute, I did with my daughter. I always forget my poor daughter. Well, I usually send her flowers, but she's got a real steady boyfriend that's going to provide her with the flowers. So I went to Amazon at 5:30 this morning and got a Valentine's Day digital gift card. I sent it her first thing. So if you've got some folks you still need to do that to, go to Amazon and arrange it. Well, for you newbies listening on this call, we do this three times every month. It's been 2 weeks. We did four in a row. We took 2 weeks off, and I'm down here in beautiful area of Sarasota, Florida. And I'm here for a month, but I work every day. Tuesdays I work all day. I don't play golf. I play golf Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I think. So, but I play later in the day, and I get my work done. I'm sitting where at home. It would normally be 20 degrees. It's 75 degrees in the shade here, looking out over a golf course, a waterway, an alligator, and a bunch of nice houses. So anyway, we're going to get rocking and rolling, David. Today we're going to talk about something we've hit on before, but we're going to kind of put it all into perspective. David and I had a conversation about this a month or so ago when I was down visiting him in Birmingham, Alabama. And for you newbies that don't know David, say hello, David.
Hello.
David is in Birmingham, very successful dry cleaner, started, maybe 10 years ago now?
That's right. In November, it'll be 10 years.
10 years in November. He's built a huge out, has three plants, two that you purchased?
No, I built two and bought a third, but I'm about to move it and put into a new building and, you know, do my own thing there.
Yep, so David in his area got hit pretty hard by unemployment and all this stuff, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you are up from, you know, when this all started 3-4 years ago, right?
Oh, yeah. We've had five consecutive months now with record sales and in my original location. I won't count the new one I've added or, you know, any of the, you know, it's a comparable kind of thing, but record sales for that month in any year since we've been open over the last 10 years.
Okay, and everybody, David is a from an accounting background, worked in industry for a number of years, bought and sold companies with a group of groups of people, and he is not a BSer, if you know what I mean. Accountant types are not. I try not to. Sometimes I might embellish some things, but the things that are very important, like the percentages we get, I do not oversell those. Like, so we've got one competitor that says you're going to get 12%. Everybody's going to get 12% doing a bag drop. And he forgets to tell them that you got to knock on doors. And he says now that without knocking on doors, you're going to get 12%. So David doesn't embellish. I try very hard not to embellish. We like to tell you like it is, how it is, and make it happen. So with that in mind, we're going to talk today, first of all, and David and I spent some time on this, your ideal customer, okay? And the second part of that is how to get, you know, you got to decide who your ideal customer is and then decide on how to get that ideal customer. And as a part of getting that customer, it's how you market will get you that ideal customer, you know? Do you want the coupon clippers? I suspect you don't. Do you want the mooches? I suspect you don't. Do you want people that are going to spend, you know, $50, $60, $100, $200, $500 a month with you? I suspect you do. And there is a way to go after that, okay? There is a way to go after that. So I want you all to imagine in your mind, okay, this is an exercise that I have done a number of times in businesses that I have started over the years. David, where are you? Is that you making all that noise? No?
Well, I've got some. Hold on. Let me close my door here.
No, that wasn't you. That wasn't you. Somehow somebody else broke through there. Okay. In a number of cases, I have sat down and wrote out what my ideal customer looks like, okay? You know, think now of your ideal route customer. Is it a husband and wife deal? Is it are both spouses working, both white-collar jobs, so they've got lots of dry cleaning? They have a couple of kids or 1.5 kids. What kind of neighborhood do they live in? What kind of house do they live in? Imagine their lives, okay? You know, during the week, the kids are off to school and they're both off to work. So it might even be like your family or your family was at one time, okay? I used to use a lot of dry cleaning back when I wore suits all the time and dressed up to go to work. I don't now. I wouldn't be my best ideal customer, but think of the time that maybe you were and think of that ideal customer, okay? Now, while you're thinking of that, I want you to write it down. I just don't want you to think about it. I want you to write it down, okay? If it's what I just described, then write it down, okay? And picture that person. Pick a customer of yours that fits that mold, okay? Now, what I want you to do is think about that person, that family that is your customer. How are you going to market to that family? Okay? How are you going to talk to that family? How are you going to follow up with that family to ensure that they're going to stick with you for the long haul? And I want you to remember this, and we've talked about this before. You are marketing to your future ideal customer. You are not marketing to, let's say, some senior citizens that spend $50 a year in dry cleaning. You're not marketing to somebody that might work in the landscaping business, let's say. You are marketing to that ideal customer. Now, for those of us that have done bag drops, and for you newbies like Gene that are on the line, and I think Chuck Burns, you're on the line too. We got some newbies here. We'll introduce them later on. You're going to get some customers that are going to complain about the bag drops, right, David?
Absolutely.
And I remember the very first time. I remember the first time I got a complaint. I'll tell you that one. And then I remember the first time I got a bag drop complaint. Now, if you use bright bags, which you should, because it is a marketing ploy, you want to use bright bags so that when somebody's driving down that neighborhood and you've hit 200 houses in that neighborhood, you want them to think, what is that at everybody's door? And I wonder if one's at my door. I'm going to run and go take a look at it as soon as I get home. You want that to happen, okay? Now, sometimes people, one in how many would you say, David, complain? I've been out of the loop. My manager handles it.
Out of your background, 1 out of 1,000, maybe?
Maybe 1,000, maybe 1 out of 500 will complain.
We've gotten so used to them, it used to bother us. It just doesn't bother us anymore.
No, it won't bother you. You know, for you newbies, it won't bother you anymore. That first one does bother you, but knowing about it now will help make it bother less. Okay, you'll get a call from somebody. They'll rip you up one side and down the other, and then you'll ask them for their address so you won't drop there anymore, and in most cases, they won't even give you their address. So how are you going to stop doing it? Anyway, it's one person, okay? You are not marketing to that person, because they're not going to become a customer, okay? You don't want somebody like that that's a complainer to be a customer anyway, okay? You want the person, like a letter that I got this week, a handwritten thank you note, okay, from a new customer that said, I've been watching your bag for 4 years. I haven't done anything, and finally I said, let's do it, and I admire your persistence. He's a business owner. And I admire the way that you market, okay? That is the person that you are marketing to. You are not marketing to the complainer. You're not marketing to the mooches. You're not marketing to the coupon clippers. You're marketing to your ideal future customer, okay? And when you get that mindset, just like David said, it doesn't matter when a person complains about your marketing, these bag drops, let's say, because they are not your future customer. They're just not, okay? And it won't faze you anymore. It's a part of doing business, okay? Every company in the world has complainers, okay? At one time or another, you've been a complainer. At one time or another, maybe you've been asked, I have, not to come back to this business. My first van in this business, when I was first getting started, was only $3,000, and it broke all the time. And the mechanic that I went back to time and time again, because he'd fix something and it wouldn't fix right, he'd fix it, and it was right around the corner from me. She was across the street where I was living. And he asked me not to come back because it kept breaking down. I mean, the van kept breaking down. He didn't know how to fix it. So I went somewhere else. You're going to have people like that. Now, I didn't take it personally because I understood. I'm a business person. You're going to have complainers. Every business is going to have complainers. And every business, if they're smart, gets rid of them, okay? Whether it's a prospect, like the one that's going to call and complain about the bag drop, or whether it's an existing customer that's just a pain in the ass, okay? You're going to ask them politely to leave. And over the years, I've asked a half a dozen politely to leave in a really nice way. They all wanted to stay, but I just couldn't deal with it any longer. You, this is your business, okay? You decide who your customers are going to be. Now, I know we got some newbies like Chuck Burns. Chuck is he's going to talk about it later, but he's a school teacher right now, a community college teacher, and he's been building a route for the last year or so. And Chuck has got a number of customers. Not a big number, but he's just starting out, like some of you may have, building your routes. He's in the fortunate position of starting out fresh with our system. But Chuck, and I'm just going to speak for you, Chuck, you're going to get so excited when you get these first batch of customers, when you get 20 and 50 and 100. And you're probably going to take anybody, okay? They might call you up and say, gee, I don't spend $30 a month, but can you squeeze me in? And you're going to be nice, and you're going to say, okay. Well, after a while, David, correct me if I'm wrong, you know, you get somebody that's under 30 out of the way, not directly in your route, okay, you're going to politely say no, just because you know what it might lead to. Or if somebody starts complaining quite a bit. You know, I had a customer, God bless her heart, she just adored our service, but about once a month she would call and say she's missing something. Well, this went on for about 4 months in a row, and then the fifth month, she said, we lost a wedding dress. A wedding, not a dress, but the, one of the dresses that somebody wears in the wedding. David, what's that called?
Bridesmaid's dress.
Bridesmaid. David's in
or,
that business.
Or mother of the bride.
Bridesmaids. Yeah, and she just had $150 worth of alterations done on it and said, we lost it. Okay. Now, previous to all of those, she would call up and say, we found it, we found it. Now, you think she would have the common sense when she is missing something that she found it four times before, that she would wait a little bit and find it. Well, this was the straw that broke the camel's back. She found it, and I said, we just can't take you anymore. We can't take you. And she begged up one side and down the other, and I just said, I'm sorry, Barbara. We just, I get you call me. I can't do it any longer. And I saw her in Starbucks maybe a month after that, and I talked to her about it again, and she apologized, and she said she understood. So as long as you do it with the utmost politeness, don't be rude, and you have good intentions, and you know the kind of business that you want to build, that you're going to get the right kind of customers. And when I was young in business, or in each business I started at the very beginning, I would take anybody, but now I'm very selective. It's hard to get my route manager to be selective, but I, you know, beat it into him over and over and over again, and he's getting it now. So, anything on that, David? You would like to add?
You were pretty patient. I guess you were saved in that you didn't actually lose anything or even end up paying some claims, but. You know, if I get a customer that says I've lost something, we have way, you know, we all have ways of verifying whether it's possible. Can't always conclude absolutely we didn't get it or we did get it unless you have information. For example, if it's a certain day, they know I gave this to you on this date or over this 2 weeks or whatever. We mark off every stop that we have where we have a pickup or we don't have a pickup. So the lady was, one lady was telling me that, you know, that, or not me, but my route manager, that we had gotten something and, you know, over that period of time we had not picked up anything from them. But, you know, they insisted that we had it. We ended up paying a claim and they're still using us. If it happens again, that will be the last time I'll deal with them. We paid $180 or something for something that we absolutely know we didn't get. But, you know, you have to do that sometimes. It's not easy. But, you know, we still have them as a customer, but if it happens again, you know, we won't. So we give them two strikes. We won't take a third strike. But if it's, yeah. If it's a possibility that we got it or we lost it or we caused the problem or whatever it was, I'm the first to agree to take care of the problem because you don't need people out complaining about you. So turn that negative into a positive by not being dragging your feet or not being a real burden to them about it because they're convinced you have it, even though you don't.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and if they've been there for 5 years and spent $5,000, that's an easy call.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. You don't worry.
First time you ever heard from. You don't worry about it. You don't even care if they lost it or not because, you know, you just really endeared them to you, and they're going to tell people about it, and, you know, they're convinced they lost it. And if they do find it, you know, most people are honest. Most people are givers. They're not takers. So, you know, I envision the kind of customer I want that are givers, they're forthright, they're honest, because that's the way I am with them. I never question, you know, if something we lose or damage something, I ask them how much you want. And in most cases, that's better for you, too, because they're going to say less. And I just give it to them immediately. No questions, no nothing. And it was very hard in the beginning to do that when I didn't have a lot of customers, not making a lot of money. But, you know, that's the business I wanted to develop. And those are the kind of customers that I wanted. So to recap this portion of the call, picture that ideal one, write down that ideal customer, and by being as part of this organization, we're going to market to that ideal customer. There are some things that in your business you might want to decide you do. You might decide that you want to do. David, maybe you could talk a little bit about, you know, pricing. You know, do you want to be the low baller in town? Do you want to be the middle of the road? Do you want to be the highest? And what that could do to find your ideal customer for you?
Well, it depends to some extent on where you position yourself in the market. If you are a quality cleaner, you do a great job, then you need to be obviously on the high end, and you need to be proud of it and not embarrassed by it or not afraid to tell anybody, but price yourself at the high end. If you're a discounter, if you have a low-cost advantage, and I don't know how people can get that, but the only way to do it is to take all kind of shortcuts in production. But if you want to be a discounter, you're fine. The problem that I see dry cleaners having today is those people that operate in the middle of, you know, of that and try to do some of both, and you can't. If you're a low cost provider and trying to present yourself as almost as good as the high priced people, just not as expensive, it's disguised. It's not true. It's a facade that you're presenting, because the quality of your work, if you are taking those shortcuts in production, the quality of your work will show up, and then people will say, hey, it's not worth it. I'd rather go to this discounter and I can get that there. If, on the other hand, you are doing a high-end quality service but charging middle-of-the-road prices, your profit margins are going to be squeezed. So work your way to one side or the other, in my opinion. And it's also, to me, if you're in the pickup and delivery business, you can't be a discounter. You can't take the extra 15% or so of your revenue that's going to go to the delivery process.
Mm-hmm.
So, you kind of have to pick your poison, decide where you're going to be, but my suggestion is everybody needs to be on the quality end of service and on the high end of price.
What we're discussing now is the pickup and delivery side of the business. These kind of customers are much less price sensitive than those that come to your counter if you have one. Okay. Most of those customers on your route don't even know what you charge. They don't even know when you raise your prices. And by the way, you don't need to tell them when you raise your prices. You just raise your prices. It's like going to the grocery store. Do they send you out an email to tell you they've raised the price on this or that? No, they don't. They just raise the prices. With your business, too, being in the pickup and delivery side of it, you should be on the higher end, because those are the customers that you are finding. If you are charging on the lower end and you're offering pickup and delivery, you are leaving lots of money on the table. Right, David?
Absolutely.
You're leaving lots of money on the table. Now, there are some of you that are scared to death to raise your prices. Do you remember the first time you raised your prices on your route, David?
I was concerned about it, but I'd also gotten some good advice, and I still use that advice today. I change my prices or increase my prices twice a year, no matter whether I need it or not. Doesn't have to be a lot, but you've got to just keep going. And if you don't, you know, it's resulted in me. I'm the highest priced cleaners in this area. Not maybe on every individual item, but overall. And I'm proud of it.
You know, once you've got a route customer, they're not going anywhere. If you pick up and you deliver when you say you are, handle their needs, their calls, and take care of things, and your quality is good. They're not going to qualm over a few cents. You know, if their dry cleaning bill is, you know, $4 more on average than somebody else, and that's pure profit to you, okay, they're not going to qualm because you're doing everything. You're wonderful to them. You know, take a look, too, at that ideal customer on what they say about you once they become a customer and have used you for a while. They just think of all those great comments that you've gotten, okay? I remember very early in my career, this woman said to me, "Greg, you are the Nordstrom's of dry cleaning. I just love the way you handle things, your personality and everything you do, your newsletter, all those things." So think about that, too. And if you're not raising your prices, if you're considering raising your prices, and you're afraid to make the move, I'm going to tell you a little story right now. Somebody very recently that raised their prices and email me, and I'll send you something that will convince you to go ahead and give it a try. David Coyle, and he's been on, I don't know if you're on the call now, David. If you are, hit *7 and say hello. I don't know if you are, David. But David runs a large business, upwards of $3 to $4 million. I forgot. I think it's $4 million or so. And he first joined me maybe 6-7 months ago, and I convinced him and to raise his prices by 10%. So what would that mean if you're doing $4 million a year, David? You're the accountant of the group. How much more money is that?
$400,000
Okay, did that go directly in his pocket, would you say? Well, minus the taxes, but right to the bottom line?
Yes. I mean, if you're making money on the $4 million, you add $400,000 to it, you're not adding any cost to it, so sure.
No. It took him 10 minutes to go into his system and change everything. That's the amount of effort it was. So David did that, and I talked to him a month later, 2 months later. I said, "What happened?" He goes, "Nothing. I don't think I lost any customers." just like that. So those of you that are afraid that if you raise your prices that you're going to have a mass exodus, okay, it's not going to happen, okay? Even if David lost half of his business, okay, he'd still make the same. Let's say he was making 10% before, he would still make the same $400,000. You'd have to lose half your business if you raised it 10%. Is that right, David?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to lose half your business. So, you know, if your quality is there, you're leaving money on the table. If you're a discounter, we have some discount members. Your route should not be discount. You will attract the wrong kind of people. You don't want to do that. You got to have a different name, different van. And never let them catch wind that, you know, it's being done at the same plant. You probably should have different procedures, make sure it's done differently. I'm sure you know what you need to do to make that quality a much higher product than you would out of the discount side of your business. Okay. Why don't we, before we move on, if anybody's got any questions at all, Dave, do you have any comments to add to that?
No, I think you're fine.
Okay. Anybody, any questions, comments, anything about this, what we talked about specifically, hit *7 announce who you are and ask away. If you need to be encouraged, if you got a question, a concern, a doubt, a good story, a good positive story, or a negative story, anything. Hit star 7, announce, and ask away or comment away. Go ahead. Anybody? Okay, I guess we got nobody. Okay, we are into this call now about, let's see, 31 minutes. So I just want to take the last 15 minutes or so to go over some basics. Because, David, I was shocked. I'm not going to name this member, but he's been with me for over 3 years. And every time I do a coaching call, I cover all the basics. You know, it's like in football or with basketball, when you go back to training camp or to practice, you know, they work on the fundamentals, the basics. And so every time I have a coaching call, I ask a bunch of different basic questions. One of the first questions I asked him was, are you still dropping? No, I'm not. Why not? I don't know. What were you getting? What kind of customers were you getting when you were dropping? He said, well, for every, you know, we talk like this, newbies, for every 100 bags I drop, I got 8 new customers, David, he told me. Okay? And he stopped. Well, why did you stop? I said, well, I was doing it myself. I said, did you think of hiring somebody? Yeah. But I really didn't get around to it. I said, let me just call him P, okay? I said, P, for his first initial, PG, let's call it that. PG, I said, if, and how long has it been? He says, well, it's been about 2 years now. I said, okay, if you dropped 100 bags a week only for the last 2 years at 8%, you would have got 8 a week times 50, 400, 800 customers. Let's chop that in half just to be safe. Let's say you netted 400, which newbies, you net more than that. You would have 400 customers at $50 a month. That's $200,000 a year more in business. He got sick, okay? So that was number one. If you've been with us for a while and you've stopped, you must start again. If you don't know how to, if you're concerned about hiring bag droppers, the process to go through, it's time we have a coaching call. Let me know, okay? Either I will coach you or one of our Colosi coaches will coach you. We will show you how to hire bag droppers, use a Craigslist ad, which works out really well for my market, and if it doesn't work out for your market, we'll figure out something else, and to hire them, and if you do it correctly, in 6 to 8 weeks, you have to shell out money for 6 to 8 weeks for those bag droppers and the lost bags, but by 6 to 8 weeks, you'll be making enough to cover those bag droppers, and everything after that is just found money, okay? And that's how you got to think. That's how you have to think. The best investment you can make as a dry cleaner right now is not in the market, not buying Apple stock, even though it went over $500 a share as of a couple of days ago. The best investment you can make is in your business, your dry cleaning business, making it the right way. Don't go buy some, you know, ad in the newspaper or some falutin thing somewhere else, but start kicking off your, if you're doing backdrops, double them, triple them. If you're not doing backdrops, get your butt back out there and doing them. You should be doing backdrops every week, okay? David, when was the last time you guys didn't do a backdrop?
When my route manager that does them was on vacation here a month ago.
Okay. And before that?
Christmas
never?
Christmas week.
Christmas. That's the only week I don't do it, Christmas week. Okay. So my point is, David's very successful. We got a bunch of members that are very successful. They backdrop every week. If it rains, get umbrellas for your people. If it snows and it's not hazardous to go out, get them boots, okay? If it's windy, get them windbreakers. They must go out every week. And, of course, not to endanger their lives, but you know what I mean, okay? It's a little cold, get them coats. They must go out every week. If the post office is delivering, you should be backdropping. That's the bottom line, okay? That's number one. Number two, once you got these customers, the most important thing you should be doing in follow-up, if you chose only one thing to do, and we have many you can do to follow-up, okay? If you were to choose only one, and PG wasn't doing this, is reminder calls. If you do not do reminder calls with VoiceBlaze at 2 cents a call, which is barely nothing, okay? David, how many reminder calls are going out a week for you?
Oh, I've got 1,600 route customers and about 1,100 calls go out a week.
1,100 calls go out a week. Okay, there's some people that opt out of those, but then you got a bunch left, they go out. Would you ever think of not doing a reminder call, David?
I haven't for 3 years. Absolutely. It's a great technique.
What happens if you don't?
Well, it's possible people will forget, but then they'll think about it. Hey, I didn't get my call. Where's my quote? I've had people that call me and they forgot to listen to the quote. They want me to tell them the quote on the phone.
Your volume will go down, okay? I haven't forgotten because I don't do it myself personally. I do all the call. The voice is mine. And about once every 8 weeks, I just load up a bunch of those. But here's what happens when new members come on board that have routes. Their volume goes up anywhere from 10, and I heard one person, this is a little bit high, 50% in volume. But I would say 10 to 20%, your volume will go up. Why? Well, a lot of people forget. Okay, and if they forget, they don't want to call you, even though you've told them 100 times in different ways, you can call me, or you told them once and you think they're going to remember. They just don't want you to go out of your way. And if you don't have a drop store or you're pick up and delivery only, they'll run to the corner, get it done real quick. You don't want to give them that opportunity because next time they forget, they'll do it again. And when you get a brand new, you've got to start them out in a habit. Not everybody remembers. You know, when everybody knows what day is garbage day, they know that, okay? And the penalty is, if they don't get it out, their garage or wherever their garbage is going to stink up because they forgot to put it out and it's going to be overflowing with garbage. Well, we don't have that penalty, okay? So we got to remind them to put it out. And with the quotes, it builds loyalty. What other dry cleaner do you know of in the world that are not Colossi members that remind them with the quote of the week? There is no such animal. You are unique. You are different. You are the Nordstroms, the beginning of the Nordstroms of the dry cleaning business. Okay? That is so simple to do. If you can't figure it out, get a teenager to help you. They can figure it out easily. And once you learn, it's easy. If you run a good-sized operation, you can get somebody else to do it, maybe your spouse even. Take it out of your hands and get somebody else to do it. You must do reminder calls. I can't impress upon you enough. Okay? Now, the last thing that I want to cover is just quickly the basics of a bag drop. Okay? David, first of all, what's the ideal neighborhood for somebody to drop in?
above middle class, you know, to up to a fairly high income, but not the highest. You know, if you got $500,000 homes in your area, and that may be small to some, and you know, it depends on where you are, but you know, those are usually pretty good in my area. If you got $2 million homes, those don't usually do as well. I think because a lot of them have their own domestic employees who may handle more of their cleaning, and whereas other more modest homes, you know, you wouldn't have as much, but they have plenty of money. I look for the places where people are driving BMWs and you know, big SUVs, and got kids in the, you know, kids' toys in the backyard, and you know, nice, respectable neighborhoods. You know, and I've worked all types of areas, and you know, if you're talking about a blue collar area, you'll or a mixed blue white collar area, you'll get some customers, but you won't get the density that you need. So, you know, don't deal with that. It just won't pay you to spend your time there. So look for density, look for people that are areas that are somewhat isolated away from the conveniences of our local dry cleaner. They're starved for services like this. We just finished an area of, I don't know, 800 or 1,000 homes and did close to 10% in that area because nobody, there has been some people there, but they just haven't done an effective job of marketing their services. So we were signed up a bunch of people.
Okay, that hits it right on the nose, everybody. Those kind of neighborhoods. Now, the next thing I want to talk about, you dropped 6 months ago in a neighborhood that did 10% or 5% or whatever your number is. You can go back 6 months later. I have an area around a golf course with 1,000 homes that I've got about 250 customers now. I was getting 6 or 7%, now I'm getting like 3, but I know I go in there and I always get customers, and it's very concentrated. They're high volume customers, they're loyal. So if you dropped in an area 6 months ago, go back, okay? Go back. Here's the scenario that's going to happen. You're going to get a bunch of people now that have seen your van in there. They've seen your bright-colored bag hanging on somebody's door, and they know that they're getting their dry cleaning picked up and delivered. They might remember the bag last time. Maybe they didn't. Maybe one of the kids took it in and never showed it to them. Maybe a spouse took it in or put it out. Nobody shared it with them. But now they see it again. They get another opportunity. Or maybe even your competitor's in there. The competitor is even next door. They don't know who the competitor is, but they're saying, hey, next time somebody contacts me, you know, it's kind of, I'm too busy to go and find out who it is, but next time somebody get involved, okay? Like this guy was just telling you about. For 4 years he's seen me in there, and finally he did it, okay? Because I've been dropping bags in that area for 4 years. That's that area that I talked about. So drop again and drop again and drop again. It's like Coca-Cola doesn't show one commercial every month. They show many per day, all day, every day, everywhere. Okay? You are the same thing. You are marketing. I know some of you are thinking, gee, I want to be an annoyance. Get that out of your head, okay? You've got a job to do. You've got a family to support. You've got employees, salaries to pay. You've got quality for your other customers you've got to keep up. You need to keep the flow going of new customers. You're marketing to your ideal customer. You don't give a hoot about your non-customers, your people that are never going to be your customers. You don't care about them, okay? I know it might sound a little crude, but you don't give a damn about those people. Those are not customers. Those are non-customers. You care about your future customer. So go in there and drop again. Okay. Now, I was going to get into some of the mechanics of dropping. I'm going to cover it very quickly, just so that all of you can get a refreshing again. And if you're doing something different, you've been with us for a while, and you're doing something different, okay, and it's working for you, we would like to know. If you're a newbie, we'd like you to do exactly the way that I've outlined in the Backdrop Manifesto first. But there are some things that members have added over the years, okay? David, in the very beginning, I used to use letters instead of post-it notes. Okay, you know that.
Yeah.
And we started out right with David using post-it notes. Wasn't it with you, David? Did you remember letters?
Yeah, we do letters for a month, and, boy, that was a chore.
Oh. Okay, so we did do letters, and then we figured out to do post-it notes. So David was the only one. He was my only member for about the first 3 months. It was him and I, and figured out a few things. So we went to post-it notes, which is so much easier, so much more cost-effective, and it works a lot better. So things like that. We got a member, Jesse Zarazoga in Los Angeles, added a rubber stamp on the last one that says last chance. It's best if it's a rubber stamp because it looks different. It's a different color. And that's added getting bags back and upped your numbers a tad. Okay? We've had other members that have done post-it notes. Instead of leaving 3 post-it notes, they've done 4, 5, and 6 post-it notes to get all their bags back and get more customers. Daryl Starr in San Antonio, Texas, does that. He grew his business with just bag drops from 3 or 4,000 a month. He was bought a cleaner in an urban area up to $45,000, $50,000 a month just with bag drops. So there are things that have been added, tweaked by our customers, things that they've tried that have worked, they've shared with us. We've shared it with all of you. So I just want to cover the basics. Take about 5 minutes, cover the basics, and then we'll open it up to questions. Okay? I got to get out to Valentine's dinner with my wife and another couple. Okay, Friday's been the best day to drop. Chris Anderson in Australia, he's like Adam Slavitt, he does a percentage guy, and he figures out everything, and he's figured out for him, and I think most of us, Friday's the best day. Saturday's better. Thursday is not as good as Saturday, but if you can drop on Friday. Then we've got Mike Coburn in West Palm Beach, Florida. He's been with me, the second member after David. In about 18 months, he built his business up in bag drops to like $35,000 a month. He started because of being in Florida, lots of retirees. He got a boatload of complaints when he put it out. So here's what he did. For his Monday-Thursday route, he dropped on Wednesday. When they would call in and complain, he'd say, "I'll be there tomorrow." So he went back Thursday, Friday, and then again the following Monday. Are you doing that now, David, the days in a row?
Yeah, well, I drop late in the week and pick up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Okay, so that method works, okay? You can either drop, let's say, for a Monday-Thursday route, and everybody adjusts whatever route they've got going. They drop on a Friday. The normal, which we first started, was go back on Monday, then Thursday, then the following Monday. David drops on a Friday, goes back Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Mike Coburn drops for a Monday-Thursday route, drops on a Wednesday, and goes back Thursday, Friday, Monday, okay? If that days in a row fits your schedule better and gets it all done, by all means, do it that way. I know, Adam, you're doing it that way. I know Paulie in Jersey's doing it that way. We've got a number of people, days in a row, okay? Do it that way. So that's kind of the basics of what a bag drop is. If you got any questions or you're a newbie, just email me if I confused you or go through your bag drop manifesto again. David, any comments before I open it up for questions?
I can't think of anything else.
Okay. Anything. Let's first focus in on today's stuff, and then we'll open it up to anything. But before we do that, let's see. We've got Chuck Burns. If you're on the line, hit *7 and say hello.
Hello, this is Chuck.
Hey, Chuck. Why don't you welcome? Chuck just signed up with us a couple of weeks ago. Chuck, maybe just tell people about, I told them a lot about you, but just give them your version of what's going on and what you'd like to get out of this. Chuck, you there? No, we lost Chuck. Or I lost everybody. David, you there?
I am.
Okay, I guess we lost Chuck. We got Gene Moore.
Hi.
Gene, hit star.
Hello?
Who's that? Yeah, who's this?
This is Chuck.
Hey, Chuck, give us your version of what your business is and what you'd like to get out of this new system that you got involved with.
Well, yeah, as I was telling you before, I started about a year ago. I'm now up to a little over 20 customers. But my objective here is to build my business so that I can leave teaching, because I teach at a community college. I've been teaching for over 20 years, and I can leave and have a retirement available for me at the end of this year, so I want to be ready to move on to something else. But I haven't been very successful at the marketing part of it. So been investigating it, and well, just decided to pull the trigger this year and get after it and do something better.
Great. Thank you, Chuck. Gene, hit star 7 if you're still with us and introduce yourself.
Gene Moorfield.
Hey, Gene.
Can you hear?
Tell us about your business? Yeah, I can hear you. Tell us about your business and what you'd like to get out of this group that you're a part of.
Well, right? I'm in a small town, and we have four different routes going in different directions, and as you call it, they're Mickey Mouse routes. And we've got to penetrate those areas, and I, out of necessity, we've got to get out and develop more business. Our business is not growing, and the thing that I'm struggling with right now, being as small as we are, I wear a lot of hats, and I've got to figure out ways to get away from and do what you call it, do the $50 an hour jobs, not the $10 an hour jobs. So,
yeah,
that's what I'm struggling with right now and working on. So,
well, we'll get you there. We've got a number of. Go ahead.
Pardon?
Go ahead.
Yeah. I was in a cost group a couple of years ago, and I met Leanne. I can't remember Leanne's last name. She's up in Michigan, and she had recently gotten into the program, and she had high regards for it at that time. And so I'm convinced that the program works. I've got to get into it and exploit it and follow directions, like you said.
Follow directions. That's it, right, David?
Absolutely. Don't try to recreate. You'll be sorry. You'll waste a lot of time and money, and you know, don't try to rewrite the sales letter.
Right.
Yeah, we've had a member that his wife was a English teacher, David and Jean, and she didn't like the way the letter was written and wanted to change it, and I convinced him not to. And about a year later, I said, hey, if you change the letter, he goes, I'm not changing nothing. That baby is a cash machine. There's no way I'm changing that. So just follow directions, Gene, and we will help guide you. We've got we've got the forum. If you get signed up for that, we've got the Facebook secret page. Let me know that you're on Facebook, and I'll make sure I have to put you in that. Okay, you just can't sign up for it. And all of you other members that would like to be on the Facebook secret page, and you get responses back very quickly from the other members. Gene, thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, let's open it up now to anybody else's gap. Hit star 7, state your name and comments, questions about any this or anything.
Hey, Greg.
Who is it?
Hey, this is Stephen Moore from Atlanta. This is my first week on your system. You want me to hold off and wait on questions until we have a chance to call? Or do you want me to dive right in?
No. No, you mean before you and I talk? Yeah, save most of those for that. Hold off on those, but why don't you introduce yourself and tell them about your business and what you'd like to get out of being a part of this group.
Yeah, I've been here in Atlanta. I'm a civil engineer from Georgia Tech, and when the real estate market slowed down, I had this idea of doing it for a while, so I took the plunge, and I've been on my own for about, I don't know, a little over a year now, and I'm probably teetering around $4,000 a week, doing it the hard way, and I just knew that I needed some consulting. So I'm looking to more than double that in the next 12 months. So.
Well, terrific. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it. Okay. Any other questions, comments?
Yeah.
Who's this? It's *7 again. I just muted everybody. Go ahead. Somebody started there. Hit *7. Announce yourself.
Hey, Greg.
Yeah, who is it?
Greg, it's John from Very Best Cleaners in San Diego.
Hey, John. John's a new
How
member.
Are you? Yes,
Great,
I am a new
you.
Member. We did our first bag drop last week, and we did our second bag drop last Friday, and we'll do our second follow-up on Thursday. But I had a question regarding the notices. After the first and second note, we ended up going back on a Friday. We did a follow-up on a Monday from a Friday bag drop, left our first note, went back on Thursday, left our second note saying that we'd be back on Friday to as the final chance offer. And I wanted to know how many people knock on the door to try to retrieve the bag back if that last final chance posted does not get the bag back.
David, do you knock on the door?
Not as much as we should. It kind of depends on everything else going on and how much time there is, but it's crazy since you're going to the door to get a bag, or, you know, of course, if you don't see a bag out, you may not get out of the truck to go look for it, but, you know, you'll get better results if you do some door knocking, and it's I've done door knocking, just blind door knocking, and this is different because you've got a reason for being there, so it psychologically it makes it a little easier to do that. I would suggest it if you're really working at building that route as effectively as possible. I'd suggest trying to retrieve the bags. In fact, there are some people that knock on doors each time as well, so it's if you can get to them, that's a great way to, you know, to begin to build a relationship. One of the challenges of the business, in my mind, with route business is that you're just a piece of paper or a name. You're not a person because they so often don't see you. So if you can meet with the people or talk to them, that's one of the benefits of the phone calls. You know, I hear all the time, yeah, I get a phone call from you every week. So you become a little more real. So to the extent that you can knock on doors and talk to somebody, if you can get them as a customer, then they begin to know you're a real person and not just some blind business that they have no real emotional connection to.
Okay, good.
Hey, John.
We'll give it a shot.
John,
yes.
And, John, we don't know exactly what the number is, but you know what? That would be a good survey question. The next time I do a survey to find out how many of you do that and what the results are. And that would be good to know for everybody. I don't do it. It would be a good number to know. My question, I got another question for you, though. You dropped, the first time you dropped, how many bags did you drop?
We did 98 bags. And
how many customers did you get?
We ended up with three customers. One was actually an existing customer that we serviced over the counter, and she ended up signing up for the pickup and delivery.
Okay.
And so we got 72 of our bags back out of the 98, so we lost 23 bags, or hopefully we have 23 potential customers still waiting to make up their mind.
Yeah.
And we're going to give it a yes.
And are those the numbers I told you would get? probably?
That's about what we're figuring. I'm still trying to find my ideal community because we're in a more established area down in San Diego, so it's just a matter of trying to get the right demographic, I think.
And for all of you, California is a very tough market because of the competition, and New York, New Jersey is tough. If you're in the middle of the country or Florida, a lot of other areas, it's a lot easier to get customers. You get more customers. It's just the way that it is. John, thank you very much.
Sure.
Okay, we got time for one last comment, and we're out of here. We're over an hour by a minute. Anybody else? One last question, comment, thought.
Hey, Greg, this is Nazim.
Nazim, go ahead, Nazim.
Okay, a couple of questions. One question was from the beginning of what you and David talked about regarding the pricing. When you deliver your clothes, do you leave the tickets on it? Because I've been doing that for my existing customers. And I've gotten a little bit of a negative feedback from it because the customers keep saying, oh, that's what you're charging me. I'm like, yeah, that's what we're charging you. And you guys leave your tickets on there for the customers or do you take them off? As we do on the counter. When a customer...
Yeah. I leave them on. David, what do you do?
I leave them on for the route customers. I actually pull them for the counter customers.
Okay.
Nazim, you said you got a negative feedback. Did they quit using you?
Yeah, they're still using, but it's like, you know, they give you a dirty look. It's like, why are you charging me this much? And it's like, look at the quality that we're providing. As far as that goes, and the number two was that we did our first backdrop on Friday. I kicked a goose egg. I got back only 18 bags, 31 are still MIA, and one customer, which is my counter customer, that converted to the pickup and delivery. So we're going to go ahead and attack another area now. And see what happens this coming Friday.
Sometimes newbies, you get a goose egg the first time out. It happens about 30% of the time. Nazim, if it happens again, we got to chat and figure out what's going on because you are in a good market in Florida.
Right.
And we will figure it out. We got a lot of members in Florida that are doing very, very well. Mike Coburn, who I talked about up in West Palm, north of you, added 35,000. So we'll figure it out. Nazim, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, everybody, we got to end this call. Thank you. David, thanks for being on the call, as always. Everybody, keep doing what you're doing. Keep bag dropping. Keep those reminder calls going. And think of your ideal customer. Write it down. And that's who you're going to market to. And that's who your customer will end up, all your customers will end up being. I'll talk to you all next week from sunny Sarasota, Florida. I'm over and out. And happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Bye-bye. Thanks, David.
All right.
The moderator has left the conference.